From KLCC News, this is the Northwest Passage. Forecasts for thunderstorms have put fire managers on alert for new fire starts. Pertussis is confirmed in Lincoln County. Local activists respond to the recent mass shootings in Dayton and El Paso. And despite those incidents, a pro-Trump group plans to rally in downtown Eugene with their guns. We'll talk about these stories and more on this episode of the Northwest Passage podcast on KLCC.
Support for the Northwest Passage comes from Columbia Bank, member FDIC.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this week's Northwest Passage podcast. I'm KLCC News Director Rachel McDonald.
I'm Mallory Begay, the Diversity Fellow.
Amy Brenneman, News Reporter.
I'm Ani Katz, host of Morning Edition.
Well, we've got lots to talk about for this busy week here at KLCC. And Ani, we'd like to start with you. What are some of the top stories from the week?
Well, there's a red flag warning in effect right now in central Oregon. This means that thunderstorms with abundant lightning are expected, which could mean wildfires. We've had some hotter weather recently, so the cooler temperatures and the rain are going to cool things down. But the Forest Service isn't as excited about the lightning that comes with some of those storms. Next to humans, lightning is the second largest cause of wildfires in Oregon. The Forest Service is bringing in emergency federal funds to triple the amount of equipment and firefighters in expectation of these storms. The storms are expected to continue through Sunday. Make sure you plan accordingly because of this. My family's actually weighing canceling a camping trip to Central Oregon because we realize it's just not going to be that much fun to hang out and maybe a little dangerous. Moving to another part of the state, in Lincoln County, health officials have confirmed several cases of pertussis or whooping cough. Amy, you did some reporting on this this week. These cases are most likely found in people who are not fully vaccinated or vaccinated at all. Whooping cough is highly contagious and it's really dangerous, especially for babies. The public health nurse that you spoke with basically said, if you're worried, you need to get in touch with a doctor. So this is public health nurse Molly Vance.
Call beforehand because you don't want to walk into a, you know, waiting room if you do have pertussis and cough on everyone else in that waiting room and get them sick. So call ahead of time and get checked out because there is a test for it to tell if you have pertussis or not. And then there's also antibiotic medication.
Earlier this week, we got the news that the Roseburg Veterans Administration Medical Center is planning to convert their emergency department into an urgent care clinic next week. The latest development of that story is that Congressman Peter DeFazio of Springfield has gotten involved. He sent a letter to the director of the Roseburg VA with concerns about how quickly they're planning to make the change. DeFazio has asked the director to explain why the change was made so abruptly. The Roseburg VA has said that they're accelerating the process because the center doesn't have enough staff to cover the emergency department, but still waiting on a response to DeFazio's letter.
It does seem like a huge change because, you know, an emergency department is 24/7. This would be an urgent care facility that would basically be open on weekdays from, I believe, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So it's a big change, and it does seem like not very much notice for veterans in the area.
Exactly. And as people may know, emergency rooms and urgent care, they treat different things. So you can't treat as many things with urgent care. So this could be a big problem for veterans in the area. This weekend, there's a God, Guns, and Trump rally that's planned for Eugene on Saturday. It's stirring controversy after the organizers for the event encouraged participants to come armed. They're going to be gathering on Saturday afternoon at the Free Speech Plaza downtown. This is the same day and almost the same place as the Saturday Market. And actually, there's a Pride in the Park event as well planned for the same day. And especially on the heels of last weekend's two mass shootings, I think we can all agree that we hope things stay moderated downtown. KLCC will be there covering the event on Saturday. And actually, Mallory, you were able to speak with one of the organizers of the event, right?
Yeah. So before we dive in, I think it's important to note that prior to this weekend's events, it was already controversial. But I think the fact that this weekend, the mass shootings, after the mass shootings happened, it generated even more controversy. But they did talk to the organizer. His name is Andrew Allwander. He does go by the pseudonym Jim Baker on Facebook. So in addition to being controversial because it's happening on the same day as the Pride event, he is somebody who is known to be pretty staunchly anti-Antifa, which is a concern for, I think, a lot of people because...
And Antifa is sort of a more of a left-wing organization that's
right.
very strongly opposed to white supremacy and has come out to rallies in Portland. And there's been some heightened tensions between groups when there's these two sort of opposing forces involved.
Right. And so, yeah, and his social media is kind of just full of anti-Antifa hashtags. And I think it's likely, it's already, like, his event is already on the radar of Eugene Antifa. And so it's likely they'll be there. I'm not 100% sure. But when speaking with Andrew Allwander, he did say that he wants a peaceful protest. I asked him how he identified. He said he identifies as a right-wing Christian conservative. I asked him if he aligns with alt-right ideologies or their belief system, and he said no, he's specifically right-wing conservative. On the possibility of his event attracting white supremacists or white nationalists, he said they're not welcome, explicitly said that they're not welcome to his event, and he's also asking people to not bring Confederate flags, which Confederate flags are often used by those groups. But the other interesting thing, too, and I think a lot of other people have started to notice as well, is that he was also present during the May 5th event where Patriot Prayer actually came to. So they were in the Eugene Springfield area. Patriot Prayer was there. And so he does identify as a patriot. I did ask him, like, what does he mean by patriot? He wouldn't specifically say what—he was pretty vague about it. He said, well, all patriots. And so he didn't specifically say patriot or patriot prayer, which is another one of those groups that seems to attract a lot of white nationalists and white supremacists. And so knowing that, I did reach out to one of the organizations who does advocate against white supremacy and white nationalism. They're called SURGE, or Showing Up for Racial Justice. I did check in with one of them, one of the organizers for their group. And so they said that it doesn't matter that Andrew Allwander said that it was a coincidence that both Pride and the gun rally are happening on the same day because, one, because they're continuing with this event despite it being a very tense time coming right after the mass shootings, and also because this rally is also supportive of conservative Christians. And they said conservative Christians have always targeted the LGBTQ plus community. And so they see it as directly antagonistic and meant to steer fear among this community, not only the LGBTQ plus community, but also the immigrant community as well.
And so, Mallory, what are they planning to do? Because they have plans for that day as well.
Yeah, yeah. So they, well, when I reached out to her, they were kind of figuring out what to do. And so all of these groups in Eugene are all connected. These organizations all seem to show up at the same events. They're kind of allied together. And so when I called her, she said that they're working on strategies to figure out how to effectively counter-protest this event while also being safe and recognizing that at rallies where gun rights activists are, Antifa usually tends to show up, and that was true during the May 5th rally. Antifa did show up, and so they recognize that those rallies tend to be it tends to be very
confrontative.
Yeah, confrontative. And I think that was true on May 5th. There were a few scuffles between the two groups, and so they want to avoid being a part of that. And so their plan is to counter-protest in a way that is de-escalating any violence or tension there. So she called it a roving rally. And so they're planning on marching, I think, away from them. I think they don't know the exact position where they'll be. They're going to assess what the situation is. They're going to assess the situation as it happens, but they did say that they're not going to be on the plaza. They'll probably be across the street where they said they're going to be blowing bubbles, singing songs. She said like one of the songs they're going to sing is like the Hokey Pokey, just really anything to one, show that they are supporting the immigrant community and the LGBTQ plus community, while also countering anything that the conservative group might be protesting for.
So we have spoken with Eugene Police, and they are aware of the upcoming rally on Saturday, and they do plan to be there to help keep the peace. And we've also heard from the organizers of Saturday Market, which will be right across the street from this rally, which is going to be in the Free Speech Plaza in front of the Lane County Courthouse. And Saturday Market folks are also preparing and nervous about what this might look like. So again, KLCC will be reporting on what happens on Saturday, and you can find our stories at klcc.org. And Mallory, you also covered this week a local rally that was sort of in reaction to the mass shootings over the weekend in El Paso and Dayton. This was Wednesday in Springfield. What did you hear from folks there?
Well, the event was put on by SAFER, or the Springfield Alliance for Equality and Respect, which is a Latinx organization. Representatives from the NAACP were there, and Citywide Mecha were there too. When I did speak to them, they did let me know that they don't speak for every immigrant out there or mm-hmm. the entire Latinx community, but they did express that it's been a really rough week for them because of the El Paso shooting, where the gunman, he's been associated with white nationalist views, and the immigrant community was specifically targeted. They just expressed their frustration and fear about living as people of color in a country without strict gun control laws, and just asking local governments for stricter gun control laws. They're scared. I spoke with one of the organizers, Johannes Tadeo. He's with SAFER, or the Springfield Alliance for Equality and Respect.
It's escalating and it's getting bigger and bigger. And the first thing I did was contact my family because, you know, this can happen anywhere. Now we know for sure that this can happen anywhere.
So I did ask, you know, like in light of recent events, where do you find hope? And he did mention that, you know, this event was spur of the moment. It was a last minute thing, but there were about 80 people who showed up. And so for him, it was just seeing the community come out and support the immigrant community in Springfield.
So, Amy, you spoke with Oregon's U.S. Senator Ron Wyden this week. What did you hear from him regarding the shootings in El Paso and Dayton?
Yeah, one of the things I asked about was if he thought white supremacy was a problem in Oregon specifically, and he didn't say much about it. What he did say was that he believes that the president is fanning the flames of white supremacy.
I think it's important for public officials, and it all starts at the top. But every public official should make it clear that there is zero tolerance for that.
He also says that he believes in much stricter gun control than we have right now. He believes in really strict background checks, and that people should ensure that there's no loopholes that people can get around or anything like that, that they should be airtight.
And so what is he going to do? He's in the Senate. Senator Mitch McConnell has basically ignored the bills that have come from the U.S. House of Representatives that would strengthen gun controls. Did he mention Mitch McConnell at all?
Yeah, he believes that Mitch McConnell should bring Senate back to talk about this, and he said it's much needed legislation.
In addition to Senator Wyden wanting Mitch McConnell to bring everybody back, I think over 200 mayors have now joined together to ask basically the Congress to come back and pass stricter gun control laws in the wake of those shootings.
We're going to take a break. You're listening to the Northwest Passage. We'll be right back.
Support for KLCC's Northwest Passage is provided by Columbia Bank. Columbia Bank team members have experience in the unique challenges of multiple industries, from healthcare to manufacturing. Learn more about their services for the business community at columbiabank.com. Columbia Bank, where relationships rule. Member FDIC.
You're listening to the Northwest Passage on KLCC. I'm News Director Rachel McDonald with Morning Edition host Ani Katz and reporters Mallory Begay and Amy Brenneman. Now it's time for us to wrap things up with something that's been sticking with us from the news this week.
I heard someone on Morning Edition, one of the guests, talking about how in the wake of events like what happened last weekend, it's very possible that many of us are suffering the effects of PTSD in different ways. I'm not going to lie, it's not easy to sit in the studio and listen to the news. And I definitely have not been listening to the news by choice when I leave the building, because it can be hard. But this is a really good reason to support your local public radio station. David Green, an excellent host of Morning Edition, excellent reporter, has been in El Paso all week doing really beautiful, sensitive, nuanced, thoughtful reporting. And I think it really adds something to the story every single time he comes on. So it hasn't been easy to listen to, but I've really appreciated hearing someone on the ground interviewing people and asking thoughtful questions that need to be asked. So that's my takeaway.
Yeah, so my story is it was an NPR story about a program in rural Minnesota that connects youth with older adults to combat loneliness. They talked about how people who live in non-urban areas are becoming more isolated, and that's because economies aren't doing as well as they used to, and so people are leaving. And so that leads to a lot of loneliness in people who live there. But this program is helping older adults connect with younger kids. And so I just thought it was a great story about the importance of human connection and how rural America is changing.
A story I really liked from this week, it was actually, I found it this morning on the NPR's main page. But Pittsburgh International Airport opened up a suite of sensory rooms for people who have autism or have sensory sensitivities. So it's 1,500 square feet. It has soft furniture. It has really soft lighting as opposed to fluorescent lighting. It has bubble towers with fun colors and stuff. And it's also really quiet in there, so people can get away from the sensory kind of overload of airports and flying in airplanes, and they can go and kind of relax. And they also have private rooms that are also really quiet, and so they can just chill out and have a place to go, because airports and airplanes can be really be sensory overload. It's also called Presley's Place because a worker at the Pittsburgh International Airport, his son is a nonverbal and he's autistic, and he's always been worried about being able to travel in the future as his son gets older. But he realized that with these kind of sensory rooms like this, that it makes traveling with somebody with autism or otherwise sensory sensitive, it makes traveling a lot easier for those people.
So this is a little behind the scenes of Morning Edition sort of story. The story that you're talking about these special places was in the first airing of Morning Edition. And something that happens sometimes with the show is as the news changes throughout the morning and news stories break, they have to move pieces of the show around. And they replaced that story with something that was a little bit more news breaking, but I was bummed because I did hear the story the first time it aired, like I think in the 5 a.m. hour, where I hope nobody else was awake. And it was a great story. It was a really nice use of sound. So you can find that story by going through our website, klcc.org. Again, a really cool program that hopefully is going to spread to airports around the country, because I think that people with autism do find, especially being in an airport, really overstimulating. And so having a safe place to go to where they can kind of just relax is a really cool idea.
It sounds appealing right now.
I know. So is that under these fluorescent lights? Yeah.
Toni Morrison died this week at the age of 88, and she was a fantastic writer. And really, I recommend anyone who hasn't read her books to check her out. Really gorgeous writing. And I mean, she explores issues around racism, around the United States' legacy of slavery in a way that is raw and affecting and powerful. And I want to just end with this piece from her speech when she accepted the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1993.
Language can never pin down slavery, genocide, war, nor should it yearn for the arrogance to be able to do so. Its force, its felicity, is in its reach toward the ineffable. Be it grand or slender, borrowing, blasting, or refusing to sanctify. Whether it laughs out loud or is a cry without an alphabet, the choice word, the chosen silence, unmolested language surges toward knowledge.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us for this week's edition of the Northwest Passage. I'm KLCC News Director Rachel McDonald.
I'm Morning Edition host Annie Katz.
I'm news reporter Amy Brenneman.
I'm news reporter Mallory Begay.
Support for the Northwest Passage comes from Columbia Bank, member FDIC.
Music for this podcast was written and performed by Don Latarsky.